All right, Philippians chapter 3, are you there yet? All right, verse 8, let's look at verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Boy, if we could say that. If we just say that. Now, in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. He says, I've kept the law, but that's not what makes me righteous. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. God gave him that righteousness. That I may know him. That I may know him. I want to. Now, this is Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost writing this. Of all people, you wouldn't think that Paul would say that I might know him. But what he's saying, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know about him. I don't want to just know a little bit about him. I want to know him. I want to become part of him. I want him to be part of me. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see things like, the Bible says Adam knew his wife and they bare a son. Abraham knew his wife and Isaac was born. That means they came together. They became husband and wife, became one flesh. And Paul's saying, that's the way I want to know Christ. I want to know him intimately, personally, as if he's part of me and I'm part of him. That I might know him, may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He said, I want to know him so well that I feel his death. I want to feel his persecution. I want to be like he was. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after him. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not just saved, but I want to know I'm saved. I want to apprehend that thought, that feeling, that possession, that life that I'm saved. I'm already resurrected with Christ, as he said himself. In Ephesians, he said, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, now has he quickened, he's made alive in Christ. That's what he's talking about. So my question today is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is this man that he's talking so much about? Why would this man, Paul, be willing to lay down his life, give up everything, that he may know Jesus Christ? You know, I think we shortchange people a lot. When we bring them to Christ, we don't make them understand you're supposed to be dying here. Today is your death day. Today's your funeral. And today you'll be resurrected in Christ Jesus, a new creature. I don't think we get that across enough to people. When I was saved, thank God I had an old-fashioned gospel preacher that preached that kind of stuff. They don't preach that anymore. And he said, when you come to Christ, you're going to give it all up. It's all going to die, every bit of it. And you're going to become a new person. And I didn't understand that, but that's what I wanted. So my question today to you and to us is, who is Jesus Christ? Look at Philippians chapter 3 again at verse 10, and we'll jump off. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. Do you know Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ that he's talking about? When we want to know somebody, we have to start somewhere. How do we know people? How do you know somebody? Well, you learn about Jesus the same way you learn about anybody else. And I really had to think about this. You learn about Jesus Christ by asking his friends that know him. Ask his family that knows him. And you also, you look into somebody that is I call it a competent authority. Somebody that would say, well, let me tell you what you need to know. Let me tell you about this guy or gap. And so when you start thinking about Jesus Christ and you say, who is Jesus Christ? And I did before I was saved. I didn't know who he was. A lot of you didn't know who he was. And what you probably didn't know, I didn't know it then, but this is how I learned who Jesus was. This is how I learned. Number one, let's talk to his friends and his family. If you want to know something about his man, talk to his friends and his family. They have a testimony about this man. So I thought, well, let's talk to Martha. She'd be a good one to tell us who Jesus was. And so in John chapter 11, verse 27, let's see what Martha would say. If you said, Martha, who is Jesus? Who is this man? John 11, 27. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha said, I believe he's the Savior. I believe he's the Messiah. I believe he's the Son of God that was prophesied to come into the world. I think that's a good introduction, don't you? I think if I want to know a Savior, I want to know somebody that's got the power to save me. I want to know somebody that's got the authority to save me. A lot of people try to save you, but they don't have the power. And they don't have the authority. Amen. And she said, he's the man. That's the man right there. He's got the authority. I know him. She said, I know him. Now, turn to Peter, Matthew 16. Peter, Matthew 16, 16. Let's see what Peter said. Matthew 16, 16. And I'm going to quit waiting and just start preaching. You catch up or just listen. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would you say Peter was a good friend? Peter was a friend of Christ. And so I asked Peter, who is this man named Jesus Christ? He said, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah they preached about. He's the Savior we've been looking for. He's the only one that can save and keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. So then I thought about John, John chapter 1, and all of you know this John chapter 1. And John said this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And in Colossians 1, he says the same thing. All things were created by Him. All things consist by Him. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, that blows up the big boom theory, doesn't it? And evolution, amen, devolution. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. John said he wasn't the light, but in verse 9 he says this, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John, who's Jesus? He's the light. John, who is Jesus? He's the creator and sustainer of the universe. John, who is light? He's light that came into the world, and the world didn't want to see it because the world's dark, and men would rather live in darkness than light because their deeds were evil. But wait a minute, he's the one that whosoever receiveth that light would receive eternal life. That's Jesus, and that's what his friend said. Amen? Amen. Billy Burgess's... I think it was Bo that said it. It might have been his daddy. But anyway, I used to work with a young man I grew up with and that I got introduced to my wife by him and his girlfriend introduced me to my wife. And Billy's daddy or his uncle, I think it was his uncle, worked with this young man out here in Rock Hill. And after I got saved, after a few months, he asked him, he said, Junior, what do you think about Ron Roddy? He said he's a hypocrite. I hadn't seen Junior in 10 years, probably. Well, maybe not 10, maybe 5. And I didn't even know Junior knew I got saved at that time, but Bo worked with him, and he told him I got saved. And he said, what you think about him? He said, he's a hypocrite. And he said, why would you say such a thing? Bo knew he hadn't seen me since I got saved. He said, because nobody can change that much. See, he didn't know Jesus. Jesus was Bo's friend. Jesus had become my friend, and Junior didn't know Jesus. So Jesus, Junior had not received the light that we had received of Christ. But he had a friend, Bo, telling him about Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. Unless you carry the light, nobody else can carry it. Unless you witness for your friend named Jesus, nobody else is going to do it. Unless you testify that he came into the world to seek and to save those which was lost, unless you do it as a friend of Christ, who's going to do it? Amen. Only his friends would do that. Amen? Let's see what John said in John chapter 20, verse 28. Thomas. John chapter 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Well, Thomas, you're a friend of Jesus. Who is he? He's my Lord and my God. Well, why would you say that, Thomas? He said, well, I didn't really believe he rose from the dead until one day he showed up in the upper room on that second Sunday because I laid out the first Sunday night like a Baptist. Boy, I can get a big laugh, did it? And but he showed up that second Sunday night, and I was there, and I'd said, unless I put my finger in the print of the nail and thrust my hand in that wounded side, I'll not believe. And he said, he showed up and said, Thomas, put your finger in the print of the nail. Thrust your hand in my side and see that it is I. And he said, I fell down and I worshiped him, and I said, my Lord and my God. He said, run. He's my Lord, my God. That's who Jesus is. Amen? Yeah. Now, unless we say that, how's a believer going to know that? Come on, man. Preacher, we got COVID. Well, they had crosses. Preacher, we got COVID going around. Well, they had a cat of nine tails whippings going around. Well, preacher, we got COVID going around. I can't talk to people. Well, they had big old long spears going around. Well, preacher, I can't tell people about Jesus. It's too dangerous. Well, they had swords. Don't you think swords was too dangerous? Amen. Look, unless we shine the light, unless we spread the word about our friend named Jesus, how will they know him without a preacher? Come on, man. So we asked his friends and we asked his family. All right. How about a competent authority? How about somebody, we always want to look to somebody that has some authority, you know. We don't believe nothing unless somebody in a position of authority says it first, you know. We're not going to believe that poor little widow lady up there living by herself trusting Jesus. Who is she? We're not going to believe that guy that works the construction, digs the ditches and covers them back up. Who is he? We're not going to believe that guy that runs the restaurant. Who is he? We want somebody in authority to tell us. That's why you've been swayed on so many things lately. Yes, let's see what it, let's look at 2:11. Luke 2:11. Look at it with me. Let's find somebody that's got some power. Would you believe somebody that had the authority of over 1,000 people? What in your believe an angel that has the strength over 1,000 men? Amen. In verse 2:11, the angel said this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hey, well, that's just a bunch of angels. Who's in charge? Okay, turn to Luke 1:32. Luke 1:32. Would you say Gabriel's in charge with angels? He's the chief. He's the boss. He's the big daddy. Amen. Luke 1:32, if you will. In verse 32, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. I think Gabriel has a little authority. I think the angels have competent authority, don't you? Okay, well, that ain't enough, preacher. I want to hear God say it. Well, I'm glad you did. Matthew 17:5. Who is Jesus? Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Amen. Is that competent authority? Where else are you going? How much higher are you going to go to get authority? Amen. Well, we need to go to the Bible college and the seminary and get the Greek professor to teach us. You know what that says in Greek? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." You know what it says in Orthodox Jewish? "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." You know what it says in Chinese? "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." You know what it says in South Carolina redneck? "This is his Son. You better listen to him." Amen. Who is this Jesus? "This is my beloved Son." Who is Jesus? "This is the Christ." Who is Jesus? "This is the Creator of the universe." Who is this? "This is Jesus, the Savior and the Keeper of every sinner that ever called on Him." Amen. Who is this Jesus? "This is one that died to pay for our sins because we can't do anything good enough to pay for them." Amen. Who is this Jesus? Who is Jesus? "He's the one that rose from the dead on the third day to prove He conquered death, hell, and the grave." Amen. Proved that God accepted the sacrifice. Well, who is this Jesus? Jesus is the one sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us right now. Who is this Jesus? "He's the one that ever liveth to make intercession for us." Amen. Amen. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. If Jesus is such a Savior and such a big deal, why don't we just ask Jesus? What would He say? Don't turn there. But John, He says in John 14:6, He said, "I'm the way." Jesus said, "I'm the way. I'm the truth." That means He's all the truth. There's no other truth outside of Him. "I'm the way. There's no other way to heaven. I'm the truth. There's no other truth. Hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to eternal life outside of Jesus Christ." He said that. The Son of God that ever liveth, He said that. The one that was the light that came into the world and the world comprehended it not, He said that. Amen. Amen. The one that went back and sits on the right hand of the Father, He said that. Amen. Now, let's see what else He might say. Well, don't turn there, but John 11:25, He says, "I'm the resurrection. I am the resurrection." He didn't say, "I'll get you resurrected." He said, "I am the resurrection." He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And what that means is, He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the only one that can put life in a dead body and raise it back up. Amen. Buddha never did that. Muhammad never did that. Young Sung Moon never did that. Charles Taz Russell, the Russellites, the Jehovah's Witness never did that. Judge Rutherford, the Russellite, the Jehovah's Witness, he never did that. Amen. Mr. Smith, the Mormon, who thinks he can have 30 wives and 300 children and they inhabit little babies down here, he's dead and in hell. He never said that. Who said that? Jesus said that. He said, "I am the resurrection." Without Him, there is no resurrection. Who's Jesus? He's the resurrection. Well, what did He do? Well, He's the one that died for my sins so I wouldn't have to. He's the one that gave me eternal life because I don't have it. I'm going to die. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look here. What about getting sick and dying? You know, everybody's dying. Everybody's getting sick. He's the resurrection. Let me tell you something. Every one of us is going to leave this world. It is appointed. You've got an appointment. Now, I understand you can rush that up, get in your stupid car, and go out there and run into a stupid bridge and kill your stupid self. But that won't be God's will. God's got a day. He's appointed. And by the way, go read Hezekiah. You can extend your days, too. Amen. Now, I'm not doing anything short of my days. Now, when I was young, I did, and God had mercy on me and let me live. Many times I should have died and didn't. I wouldn't jump off the Catawba River Bridge in the backwater at Lancaster County anymore. I'm in the Catawba River Dam. in the backwater at Lancaster County anymore. I got up on those rails that moved that machine to lift those things, and we dove off that thing. I wouldn't do that again. That was a fool. I ain't a fool no more. I got saved. I ain't doing that. I mean, I've been places I wouldn't go now. I even sit with my back to the wall everywhere I go now because of the stupid things I did. But listen, God is the resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. I plan on outliving all of you. I got some of you funeral already planned, and it's a doozy, man. They're going to be crying and weeping, and some of you we're going to have to hire people to come crying and weeping. But we'll do it. We'll get it out of the other's offering. We'll get to, oh, he's gone. Oh, she's gone. And other people say, I never did see her much anyway. But it's appointed. I don't want COVID. I used to get flu every year till they come out with a flu shot. I'm serious. From the time I was a kid, I got flu. Sometimes twice a year I'd get flu. And I'd lay in the bed and beg to die. It hurt so bad. Has your roots of your hair ever hurt? If you had the flu, they did. Every muscle, every bone, your kidneys hurt, your liver hurts, your heart hurts, and you lay in there and curl up a little ball, and between throwing up, you beg God to heal you or kill you. I don't want COVID, do you? Amen. I'm not going to test God by saying, okay, I'm going to drink poison, I'm picking up a snake. I'm not doing that. That's foolish. But I realize I'm going to die. But you know what? I'll never die. As long as God lives, I live. Amen. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. What's his name? Jesus. And then one day the trumpet is sound, and who's coming back? Jesus. And what's he going to do? He's going to shout, and listen, the dead in Christ to be raised first, and then those which are alive remain to be translated. But listen, I'm going to die unless Jesus comes back. But that doesn't scare me. Sick scares me. I won't be sick. But death does not scare me. You know why? I know the resurrection. I know him. I know him personally. I met him March 5th, 1978, Eastside Baptist Church, 6th pew on left-hand side, 300 verse of just as I am without one plea. It felt like it. And before I got down to the front, before anybody ever took me into a room and prayed with me, I was saved. I didn't know how to pray. I went back there and I prayed the sinner's prayer. But I look back on it now. The moment that I believed on him enough to step out, I was born again. And I felt it. I felt it. I felt the burdens and the guilt and all that just falling off of me. And boy, by the time I left there, I felt light as a feather and the sky was bluer and those little puffy clouds were so beautiful. I could have just hugged a tree. I was so happy. I cried half the day out of happiness. And I go back to church and they sing, oh, I love Jesus, and I can't get past oh how without weeping and crying. And they sing Amazing Grace, and I say Amazing Grace, and the waterworks just bust loose. Who am I that a king would die for? I know him. In John 8:58, he said, before Abraham was, I am. I know he's eternal because that's a present tense, not a past tense. He looked at those Jews who were bragging on being children of Abraham, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. That means he's the eternal God. He's always been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Jesus has always been. There's never been a time when Jesus was not, and there'll never be a time when Jesus is not. He's the eternal God. And I know him. I met him. He's my friend. And I've lost a lot of friends over the years, but he's never left me nor forsook me. He's never deserted me. On my worst day, he was still my friend. When people walked out, he walked in. Glory to God. Do you know him? When I fail him, I still feel him. Friendship does not go by how many times you fail. Friendship just loves you the way you are. And when I was down, he was down there with me. And when I was up, he was up there with me. He ever lived to make intercession. Josh, I know him. I know him. He's right here. I feel him now. I don't go by feelings. It's a fact. But I feel it because it is a fact. Amen. So then, I say, who is Jesus Christ? And the world says, he's just a man. Religion says, he was just a lunatic. I say he's the Son of God. He's the virgin born, sinless life, Son of God. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for sinners so I could be forgiven of my sins and whosoever will could be saved. And he's the resurrected Savior. Bodily resurrected. Jehovah's Witnesses say, no, he got up in his spirit. No, sir. He saw Thomas and he said, touch me and feel. He's the resurrected Savior. And the cultists say, every time somebody believes in him, that's his coming back. I say, no, sir. He's coming back in all his glory, riding a white horse and a rod of iron, and it says King of Kings right across here, and he's wearing a robe that dipped in his own blood. He's more than a man. He's more than a hero. He's more than a revolutionary. He certainly was not a lunatic. If he was, I want in the asylum. And he certainly was not a liar. He wasn't a liar. He never said anything without proof. He exhibited, his very words were the word of God. Everything he spoke was the word of God. He said, I give life, I take it away. He spoke into existence the world, and he'll destroy it by his word the same way he created it by his word all things consist. He's more than a man. So my question today is, do you know him? Do you know him? Not as a baby in a manger. Not as a good man that healed people. Not as a man who died as a martyr, but as the creator of the universe who was born and lived and died for you and me, sinners, and that rose again that third day in a body. And now he's ascended up to heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back at any minute. It's getting pretty close. I can hear him now saying, Father, is it time? He said, no man knows the day or the hour. The angels don't know. He said, the Son don't know. He said, only the Father knows. He said, but it's appointed. I can see him now. Father, it's a pretty big mess down there. Father, can I go get my children? Father, can I go get the bride? She's looking real good right now. You know, stuff like what we're going through will weed out who's really the bride and who's not.
That's right. Come on now. Yeah.
Stuff we're going through right now will weed out who really knows him and those that just know about him. Trial, tribulation, heartache, sickness, death weeds out those who are professors and not possessors of Jesus Christ. We can't blame it all on the Democrats. God might have turned this loose on us. To sift us. He looked at Peter. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And God might be just saying, go ahead, devil, sift them a little while. Let's see who's real wheat and who's chaff. But if you don't know him, you wouldn't think that. And the Apostle Paul said that I might know him. Intimately know him. As Adam knew Eve, as Abraham knew Sarah, as a man knows his wife. And the Bible, Ephesians says they become one flesh. Yes, one flesh. March 5th, 1970, I was born again. I and Christ became one together.
Amen. Thank you.
I went in that day not knowing him, and I came out the bride.
Amen.
Now I know him. That's good preaching.
Amen.
Not that I did it, but that's the Bible. I've just been reading you scripture.
Yes,
do you know him? Let me ask you something. You're watching today. Do you really know him? Don't live in doubt or fear if you know him. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm a winner. I'm going to win how this turns out. COVID, politics, whatever. I'm already a winner, Holroyd. And I'm going to arrive. I'm going to cross the finish line. Why? Because he's going to carry me because I know him. He's carrying me. Do you know him? If you don't know him today, you know what you need to do? You need to turn to him and say, Lord, I don't know you, but I want to. And he said, if you'll seek me early, you'll find me. That's what he said. All of us that were saved, somehow we sought him. And he found us. We never found him, but he saw us seeking. So he intervened and found us. You want to know truth, you come to him. He's the truth. If you want to know the way, you come to him. He's the way. If you want to know you're going to live forever and you don't have to be afraid of dying, come to know him. He's the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
I hope everybody here knows him today. Odds are they don't. I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. But I always figured if he had 12 and one of them was a hypocrite, I'm not calling you a hypocrite. I'm just saying he didn't know him. I always figured you get crowd 12, 15, you got some that naturally just don't know him. And today, you'll never be in a better place to come meet him than right here. I don't think there's a church in town that's more easy to be saved in than this one right here. Everybody in here loves you. The angels are leaning over the banisters of heaven right now for you or anybody in here saying, save them, Lord. Move them, Lord. Move them. And you know what? When you get saved, you know what the Bible says? The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner. You say, I ain't good enough. That's the one he's looking for. You say, but I'm bad. He's better. Amen. You say, but I can't. But he can. And the angels in heaven know all that. And they're just hoping somebody will bend their knee watching today and say, Lord, save me. Or somebody in here might say, Lord, save me. You know what he'll do? He'll save you. But no, I got to join the church. No, you ain't got to join nothing. Come to him. He'll do all that. But I got to quit drinking liquor. I got to quit smoking dope. I got to quit running around. I got to quit this. You come to him. He'll do the quitting. You just come to him. Amen. If you wait till you quit sinning, you'll never get saved because there's always going to be another sin. There's always another one. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, Father. Thank you for your inerrant, inspired, in.